with the music and the readings and all that we have to bring today. I want to welcome especially those of you that may be visiting or maybe haven't been here for a while. We just want to warmly welcome you. We're so glad that you're here.
Please stand, turn in your hymnal to page 152. Tell me the story of Jesus, verse 1.
The story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story that's precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
There was a young girl who won Joseph's favor. Her name was Mary, and she was betrothed to Joseph. She was terrified of this honor and responsibility.
Good morning. Many times in your life, I know in mine, we have been asked to do things. And we looked at whomever may have done the asking, and we're like, "You want me to do that?" You know, I can think of a couple of times in the Bible that something like that happened, and one of them specifically was when God told Noah to build the ark. He said, "You want me to what?" You know? And there's a lot of times it had happened. One other very special moment is when they called upon Mary to be the mother of Christ. And she's like, "You want me to what? Are you sure that you want me?" This song is about her prayer of, "Are you sure you need me?" and her ultimate submission to carry out God's will. I hope you enjoy Breath of Heaven.
Must I walk this path alone?
breath of heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong.
The Testament has several prophecies of the coming Savior for Israel. It's just that no one expected a lowly birth, and they were looking in the wrong places.
Everything inside me calls to order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am somehow. Help me see with heaven's eyes, and before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is he, blessed am I. Thank you.
I'll hold you in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. In every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. All this time we waited for the promise. All this time you waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected, so we might know that love could go that far? Be born in me. Be born in me. Trembling heart, somehow I believe that you chose me. I'll hold you in the beginning. You will hold me in the end. In every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me. I am not brave. I'll never be. The only thing my heart can offer is a vacancy. I'm just a girl, nothing more. I am willing, I am yours. Every moment in the middle, make my heart your Bethlehem. Be born in me.
Kids, it's time for children's story. Come up here. John will be giving the children's story today.
All right. Time to put up with John again. You're welcome. All right. Hey, guys. Gals. Everybody else? All the kids in the audience? Oh, I'll talk a little lower. So, everyone knows it's the season of gifts, right? Seasons of gifts. For some of us, those gifts are going to be little packages that we get to open that maybe mom and dad got for us. And for others, the gifts are going to be the gift of life. Or the gift of grace. But what I want to tell you guys a brief little story about is one of the best gifts that I've had, and then I'll talk to you about another thing. When I was a kid, I, like most people, and I don't have a picture, I wish I had, was really fond of video games. They weren't as advanced, but they were just as thrilling. Just as thrilling. Between that and some movies, that's what I was all about. And then when I was a little kid, my parents bought me a tool set. And I'm not saying I gave up the video games. No, I still enjoy the video games. And that's not really an example of, it was a good shot one of the Pathfinders took, so I put it up there, to represent the tool set that I got. Wooden handles, metal, screwdrivers, screws, hammers. And I couldn't find a picture this week of me building everything that you could build as a child. I built ramps 6 feet high, took skateboards off of them, not that I could actually skate, took bikes off of them on purpose, Didn't land well, but I still did it. I built dog houses. I built whatever I could build. So basically what I'm saying is, let's back it up. What I'm saying is that gift that was given to me changed my life. Right? And that was my parents giving me that gift. And a lot of you guys are hoping to get some gifts under the tree, and some of you might even want to be giving gifts back to other people, and you might think, oh, I don't got any money. I don't have a job or whatever. But what I'm here to tell you today is that we're all given gifts, and the Bible talks about those gifts, and we argue as Christians about how many gifts there are. Right? So I'm just going to show you an example of a few of them. But if you don't see the gift that you have in the list I'm about to share, just know it's up there, I'm sure, because we only list a few. But what I want you to know is that you have these gifts that God has given you. And I'm going to read you that verse. And they can change your life like they did mine. And they can allow you to build things, like relationships, or courage in yourself or others, or faith. There's a lot of things you can build with these gifts. It's in Romans 12, 6 through 8. And there's a lot more to it there, but I'm just going to read it for you guys. We're all given these gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, well, then you go on and prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouragement, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do so diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do so in gladness or cheerfully, as it says there. Now, that's just a few of the gifts God has given us. But I also want you to think, in addition to that, about just all the sacrifices and gifts that your parents have made for you so that you can have a place, have life. And I think you should thank them as well as God in this coming week when we celebrate gifts. If you'd bow with me, we can have a quick prayer. Awesome God, we just are ever so thankful for your gifts, your Son, your grace, your Spirit. And we ask that your Spirit just fill us up to the brim, overflowing, that we might dribble a little extra Spirit on those around us. And we ask that you just follow us, refilling us through our lives, that we might constantly be a blessing to others. In your name, amen.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us.
Please join us for 115, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, first verse. please stand and sing with us, "Welcome to Our World"?
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
Angels from the realms of glory, verse 1 and 2.
Sing creation's story, now rise.
I'll be reading Matthew 2, verses 1 through 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him."
Christ in Christmas.
Christmas without Christ?
Tell me, how can it be?
So many people change it.
To suit themselves, you see.
Can't we say Merry Christmas?
Instead of Happy Holidays?
We take Christ out of Christmas.
In so many different ways.
It is nice to exchange gifts.
The special time of the year.
But what do we give to Christ?
Our Redeemer and Savior, so dear.
Christ is really what makes it.
A genuine Christmas season.
If we take him out of Christmas,
we celebrate for the wrong reason.
I want Christ in my Christmas.
For inside my heart, Jesus lives.
Jesus can be your Savior too.
For free salvation he gives. Good job.
Please stand for 140, thou didst leave thy throne.
Joy comes.
Wow, what a wonderful Sabbath. Amen. Special thanks to each and every person that took part. The readings were amazing. The music was heartwarming. And I just love the end of that song, and it reminds me, Sophia, of your song. Just the idea of Christ being born in us today. What a beautiful thought. What an important thought. I want to share with you four transforming promises that I think can make this Christmas much more meaningful. The prophet Isaiah once prophesied, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Wonderful Counselor. It's a difficult thing to be a good counselor. To actively listen, to consistently be present with someone and offer wisdom for their life. I went to graduate school for 5 years. Many of you know this. To be a counselor. And even after 5 years of work and study and training, sometimes I would sit in a room with another person and they would be talking. And in my heart, I would be thinking something like, I don't know how things ever got so messed up in your life. Frankly, I don't have a clue what you ought to do. That's one of the reasons I'm a pastor. I was talking a while back with one of my friends from graduate school, one of my classmates. He'd been doing counseling for a long time, and he was telling me about a few patients of his that had profound problems, really difficult issues that they were facing. One issue more tangled up and complicated than the next. He got done with describing all these problems, and then when he was going to just try to summarize it for me, and I was waiting for this great wisdom, I was waiting for these profound words from this guy. Years of graduate school, years of practicing as a professional clinician. And he thought about it for a moment and he said, "You know, some people really have some big problems." I thought to myself, 5 years of graduate training, all this experience, and that's all you've got to say? Some people really have big problems? And it's true. And honestly, from my heart, I would say to you, I am one of them. I have issues in my life. I have made choices in my life that have brought me and the people that I love and care about some real pain. Some of you here, you need wisdom for a living. The Bible says, "Unto you a child is born. A son is given, and he wants to be a wonderful counselor." Not just a counselor, but a wonderful counselor. He will listen. He will be emotionally present in your life. He will never lose his patience with you. He will give you wisdom. He will never let you down. Some of you are facing decisions right now, some decisions that might determine your future success or failure. Maybe some of you are assessing relational commitments, or maybe you're questioning your personal values. And maybe there's just a wrong decision that could just mess up your life so badly. Maybe some of you right now are experiencing intense emotional pain. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now. "I will be for you a wonderful counselor. If you will let me, I will guide each step of your journey. I will give you wisdom. If you will just pour out your problems honestly and openly before me, then I will spend some good time listening and understanding." Jesus says, do it today. Do it tomorrow. Jesus is longing to be a wonderful counselor. And then, second promise. The Bible tells us that Jesus came so that you and I could have a mighty God. If truth be told, I would suggest that many of us here today need a mighty God in our lives right now. Amen? Maybe you're facing a big challenge in your life right now. Maybe it's an overwhelming task. Maybe you're a single mom. You've got children. You need to raise them. You need to support them. And you really don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Maybe the doctor has just recently told you some really bad news about your health. Or maybe you are here today and you're just emotionally hanging by a thread. I have gotten several sad and difficult phone calls over the last weeks here at Woodside Church. The losses that we have experienced, several families have experienced in our church, has been so painful. It has shaken this community. And so we often do the only thing really that human beings can do in a place of loss. Ultimately, we pray. We cry out. We do need a mighty God. Because when you get right down to it, we really can't control very much in our lives. Some of you maybe are in a situation right now that is far beyond your ability to control. And Jesus is there at the door, knocking. Let me be for you right now a mighty God. Aren't you tired of trying to do everything in your own strength? Aren't you tired of trying to carry those heavy burdens all by yourself? Won't you let me step in and be a mighty God in your life? And then the third promise, the next name, after Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, is Everlasting Father. God says very clearly to us in the Word of God, I will be your Father, Abba, Father, and you will be my children. Some of you here this morning, I suspect, are feeling all alone. That's a hard thing, to be alone. I heard a story once of a young man whose mother had died when he was very, very small, and he was filled with anxiety and fear because of the trauma that he'd experienced at a very young age. Days were bad, but nights were much worse. Nights were terrible for this small little child. At night when he couldn't sleep, he would get out of bed and he would tiptoe down the hallway and he would knock very quietly on Dad's door. If any of you have kids, you know what it's like to be sleeping and have your child tiptoe down the hallway and tap, tap, tap on your door. Daddy, can I come in and sleep with you, Daddy? And his dad would always say, of course you can. And he would lie in that bed and he would still feel all alone and his eyes would still be wide awake. And then he would begin to talk to his father. He said he would ask his father one question. He would say, Daddy, Daddy, is your face turned towards me? Because he needed to know that his father's face was looking, turning right toward him. That his father's eyes were directed towards him. Even in that dark. Even when he couldn't see. His father would always say to him, yes, son. Yes, my face is turned directly towards you. And when he heard those words, he felt safe. He felt secure. He didn't feel all alone and he could finally go to sleep. Some of you this morning are here and you feel that you are all alone. And Jesus is here at the door of your heart. Don't you know that I want to be your friend? My face is always turned towards you. Won't you invite me into this moment, into your life, to go through each moment of each day right there with you? Don't you know that God wants to be for you an everlasting Father? You can write those words down sometime today or maybe into this next week. Put them on your mirror. Put them in your car. Put them at your workspace. You never have to be alone. And then the Bible says the fourth wonderful name. Jesus comes, do you remember what it was? As the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And although this has all kinds of ramifications for our lives, primarily it means that Jesus wants to bring peace between us and a holy God. That we have been separated from God by this huge chasm created from our sin, our own unrighteousness, the acts that I have done that were wrong, and the things that I didn't do that I ought to have done. The moral debt that I have accumulated in my life, I could never repay. And so Jesus comes today as the Prince of Peace. He died on the cross. He paid the debt that I could not pay so that you and I could be reconciled with God, forgiven, and everything could be set right between me and God. For some of you, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart today, saying, won't you just simply say yes? Won't you just receive the gift? It's a gift. The gift of salvation, of life, and forgiveness. Right now, I am passionately praying that over this next year, 2025, that there will be children and there will be young people and there will be adults in this community at Woodside Church, all who say, Jesus knocked on the door of my heart. I've opened it. And now he is my Savior and I have peace with God. We're currently scheduling a baptism, a time for baptisms after the new year begins and on into the first few months, where anyone and everyone who desires can say yes to Jesus and can celebrate a new life with all of us as a community. For some of you here this morning, Jesus has been knocking at the door of your heart for a very long time. And I'm here to tell you that today is your day. This is the day for you to open up your door and invite him in. I want to be able to experience peace between me and God. I want to receive your unconditional love and forgiveness. Not to try to earn it, but to accept it as a gift of grace. Jesus, a gift for which you lived and you died and you rose again. For some of you this morning, Jesus is knocking right now. You never have to hesitate to let him into your heart. You never have to hesitate to receive his gift of forgiveness and life. This is the glory of God. that God, the God of the universe, the King of all creation, makes his way to this place, to the place where you are now sitting, and he knocks on the door of your heart. Jesus has come, and that is what we celebrate at Christmas. And he has come right to this room. He has come right down to where you are sitting right now. And he's knocking at the door. And he says, "Behold, right now I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you hear my voice, if you just simply open up the door, I will come in." Some of you right now in your life, you have big decisions that you need to make. Areas where it just feels overwhelming or it feels really confusing and you're struggling, not knowing what to do. And Jesus is saying to you, "Won't you let me be a wonderful counselor? Won't you say yes?" Some of you came in this morning and you are carrying burdens too large for any human to bear. And the truth be told, there's a lot of vulnerability. There's weakness in you. And Jesus says to you and to me in a big, strong voice, "Won't you let me be a mighty God in your life? Will you simply say yes?" And some of you in this room are surrounded by people, but you sit there and maybe you feel utterly alone. So alone. Maybe you've lost the love of your life. Maybe you're divorced and you feel so lonely. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're watching couples around you and families. Or maybe you're married and you just feel kind of distant and disconnected. God says, "Won't you let me be an everlasting Father? Won't you just let me turn my face towards you, wrap my loving arms around you, and come be my beloved child?" And some of you have never allowed Jesus to come into your life, to receive the gift of forgiveness and life. Maybe you've just been stubbornly keeping that door shut. Be very quiet right now as Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. The King of the universe has laid aside his crown and his robe. He became like one of us. And he is saying to you, and to me, "Won't you let me be the Prince of Peace? Won't you stop pushing back and just open the door and let me in?"
Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love. Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love. Merry Christmas, sing the happy song. Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love.
One more time.
Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love. Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love. Merry Christmas, sing the happy song. Christmas time, tells of Jesus' love.
Before I pray, Annie, are you here? No, she's not. Okay. Annie wanted me to announce that we are going to be having sign-ups for a meal, for meals to be provided for the Alasier family and also for the Ching family. So maybe the best thing is for you to contact Annie. If you need her number, you can come to me afterwards. But we'd love to have all of us as a church and community wrap ourselves around these families during their time of loss. And meals are a tangible way that we can do that. Let's pray together. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, we ask today that we could simply say yes to the gifts that you have provided. During this Christmas season, may our hearts be open to everything that you long to be for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming to this earth, giving up your crown and your robe, and becoming one of us, so that we could know that God would rather die than be without us. Thank you for each member in this church. Thank you for those who are visiting today. Thank you for the community of faith that you have called us to be. And during this Christmas season, it is my prayer that each one of us can not only focus on giving gifts to each other and celebrating this season, but also think of one person or one family that we could provide love in a tangible way for. We also pray for our food pantry this afternoon as they seek to serve those who are hurting, those in need in our community. Thank you for the unselfish spirit, the giving spirit of this wonderful church called Woodside. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.